I'm glad you laughed. I said, whoa. After hearing the reading, I'm reminded that listening to differing voices can be difficult. I'm reminded of my own stories of moments when I was less than hospitable and could only see things through my own lens. And that feels hard. But our kindred fellowship is called to pay attention to those stories, to those moments, and to work through some of those emotions as we realize our work is not yet done. Today, we'd like to give you a taste of Justice General Assembly, the gathering of the Klan. This year, different because we would be hosted in the land of SB 1070, the Show Me Your Papers law, the place where the arrogant Sheriff Joe Arpaio houses inmates in what's called a tent city, and they wear black and white striped suits and pink boxers and socks. And he's now facing U.S. civil trial of discrimination and harassment of Latinos. Well, the decision was made that this General Assembly needed to be different. Rather than having a smorgasbord of activities with a myriad of plenary sessions, as is the typical and usual fare, the focus was clear. This time, the assembly would focus on how our values are acted out in our lives and the world. This would be Justice GA. There was room for worship, for spiritual reflection, for those many things we love to do, like shop for books at the UUA bookstore and the exhibit hall. But we came as thousands of partners to the folks who live and are struggling in Phoenix, Arizona. In the UU world, writer Doug Mooder shares his elation. He said, at a GA worship service where hymns are sung by thousands and led by an all-star choir, it's possible to imagine a world where UUs are not a tiny minority. The vision that we could be so much more than we are stays with you after you go home. Well, I was already on that return plane ride before the largest event that transported 2,500 people, Unitarian Universalists, to a peaceful public witness at that tent city jail. But I watched it streaming live on my laptop, and I felt, in a sense, I was still participating. It might be a lot when we share with you this morning to imagine spending the kind of time and money that it would take to attend a General Assembly. So I've got another invitation for you. This next April in 2013, our new Western region, of which we are a part, will hold its first regional assembly. And guess where it's going to be meeting? In San Jose. Congregations from all over the Western United States will be there. And it will be held on the weekend of April 26th through 28th, so you might want to mark your calendar now. The theme, I love this, Big Faith, No Borders. How about that? See you there. Evelyn, come on up.
Well, being a delegate at Justice GA was really a wonderful treat. And of course, you know, I've been doing justice stuff at Star King since year one, I think. It's my thing. So anyway, when you go to Justice GA or any GA, you get a book like this. And there are probably 10 things you can do every hour of the day, and you have to make serious choices. But and I have been a delegate long years ago, and I shuddered when I said I would be a delegate this time. But I don't know if it was just this time or if they have refined their processes, but it went like clockwork. And instead of having to sit in the plenary session all day, we were in there and out in about an hour and a half, and we got things done. And so it was really a remarkable thing. And I'm only going to tell you about one thing that knocked my socks off. I absolutely, and we'll talk more about this in the workshop that we're going to do after this service for the Justice Alliance Committee. But there's something called the Doctrine of Discovery that started out in the 15th century, and it has gotten passed down. It was codified into law by Chief Justice John Marshall. And he said that the Native Americans, Native people, didn't really know about their land, and it didn't really matter, and they probably weren't capable of taking care of it anyway, so it was okay if people took their land and used them as slaves. So I'm going to talk more about that at afterwards, but I just wanted to let you know. And the GA did agree, the United Nations passed the resolution, and it's called, I can't find the name of it. It's a United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People all over the world. And the United States, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia refused to sign it. So now we're trying to get it passed. But the UUA did pass it, asking our government to enforce the provisions of it. So I'll talk more about that later. Okay.
Excuse me, would you vote for reproductive justice? Please, hi, hi. Please, would you pass this up? Please vote for reproductive justice. Hi, hi, please vote for reproductive justice. Hi, could you pass that around? Please vote for reproductive justice. That's how I spent a lot of my General Assembly this year, standing outside a place like this, maybe a little bigger. It could fit maybe 3,000 people. Every few years at General Assembly, representatives from congregations like Evelyn come together and they vote on a social justice issue that's going to be a priority for congregations for the upcoming few years. And when I was going around, I passed around some pictures of folks that I was working with this past year. We committed to wearing the same T-shirt for about 3.5 days straight. This is washed. And the small group of us who organized and lobbied for reproductive justice, we were successful, and reproductive justice is going to be the congregational study and action issue for congregations around the country. So over these upcoming years, congregations are going to study and reflect on reproductive justice and figure out how and why it's connected to our Unitarian Universalist faith. They'll figure out how to do meaningful actions in their community, and why it is that as a faith community, we may be so committed to reproductive justice. And all of us in those pictures I passed around, we all had our different reasons for our commitments to reproductive justice. And my reasons? Well, they're actually some of the same reasons I'm so thrilled to be here serving as a director of family ministries. So this word, reproductive justice, it's not the same thing as being pro-choice. Reproductive justice is a way of understanding life. It's about understanding that having a right to do something doesn't really mean that much if you don't have a community that is willing to support you. If you have a legal right to something like abortion, that is good and it's important for many of us, but who's going to drive you? Is your boss going to let you off work? Who's going to watch your kids? Reproductive justice means focusing on what it means to really support women and families, their right to have children, to not have children, and to parent the children we have in healthy, just, and safe communities. For me, reproductive justice is about realizing that we are never just individuals. We are bodies and beings in community in an interdependent web, and we need each other more than we know to make real a world for our children and ourselves, a world that is safe, just, and loving. For me, we all need each other more than we know to make those life decisions big and small. We can't do this thing called life, this thing called parenting, this thing called family, this thing called being human. Can't do it alone. I need you, and you need me. Family ministry, reproductive justice, this for me is what it's about. To be together, to be a community that loves all of us, respects all of us, and provides us with support through the thick and the thin. This is what family ministry is about to me.
Although I was unable to attend the Justice General Assembly, I will report today on the UUSC, whose mission and vision and values dovetail nicely with those of the Justice GA. Last May, I was appointed to the Board of Trustees of the UU Service Committee. I felt both thrilled and blessed to join the leadership of an organization that since the 1930s, when the Unitarian and Universalist Service Committees rescued thousands of European Jews from the death camps of Nazi Germany, its organization has devoted so much energy to social justice, human rights, and humanitarian aid across the globe. Although many of us, including me before joining the board, have been perplexed about the difference between the UUA and the UUSC, often amalgamating one into the other, the UU Service Committee is, in fact, an organization completely separate from the UUA, both in administration and funding. Actually, the only collaborative project is the College of Social Justice, an initiative that was unfurled at the past GA. Now, the UUSC partners with local grassroots organizations to support some really amazing and transformative projects with incredibly little funding. They were one of the first groups on the ground after the Haitian earthquake in 2010 to provide medicine, food, and shelter to those displaced, and have remained there ever since to build housing for dislocated villagers. But today I'm going to describe a human rights effort undertaken by UUSC and its partners very close to home, namely our efforts to ensure access to safe, affordable, and sufficient water for daily human needs right here in rural California. The UUSC May board meeting was held in Fresno, and its focal concern was water rights in California. Maria Herrera of the Community Water Center, one of our partner organizations, hosted us on a bus tour of the water resources of three predominantly Latino farm working communities in Tulare County, about 30 miles southeast of Fresno. The view of the Sierra landscape from these towns was riveting. Mountaintops penciled in snow and the fresh crispness of the air. The drinking water, however, was foul and repulsive. A century-old well in the town of Seville flowed into pipes embedded in agricultural runoff ditches that were long corroded and porous to the nitrates and pesticides seeping into tap water. One villager mentioned that he turned on his faucet for a drink and tadpoles had emerged into his drinking glass. It is estimated that the average household income of residents of Seville is $16,000 a year, of which $120 a month is spent totally on buying imported purified bottled water. Fortunately, just last Friday, after a long and difficult struggle with the advocacy of UUSC, the Community Water Center, and other grassroots organizations, the California Senate passed AB 685, legitimizing the human right to safe water in California. Truly, the living and flowing waters of love can supplant water made repugnant through greed.
Good morning. I'm Joe Murdoch. Evelyn and I were your delegates to the Justice GA. And I look forward to the time when delegates will be elected and not the people who have chosen to go because they can. Anyway, it was a wonderful experience. I think this was my third one. I have the recollection that maybe I had another one, but I can't remember where it is. And each time, my experience has been very, very similar. And that is, as Katie mentioned, being with that many like-minded people all in one place, singing together, talking together, deciding together, is thrilling. There's no other word that I can put for it. It's absolutely thrilling. Quebec was thrilling, Salt Lake City was thrilling, and Phoenix was particularly thrilling because every aspect of it, every part of it, was focused on justice. And I really appreciated that intrinsic consistency of everything that was happening there. It was just wonderful. For me, the absolute ultimate part of GA is singing with so many like-minded people. It is absolutely wonderful to be in a service and have all of us just singing together. And personally, it's even more wonderful for me to be in a choir with a group of people who are well-trained, have gorgeous voices, and sing some really interesting music. And this time we had some great music that was written by the director, who was part of the Music Ministers Network. And it was just a delight. This was his opportunity to have his music performed for the first time. And it was just a delight to be with that. So choir, then, GA Choir, is one of the workshops that Evelyn was talking about when you showed you this big, thick program. And it's just very frustrating because there's so many choices for any particular time of the day or night. And so when I chose choir, because it was meeting and practicing consistently throughout the whole of the GA, that meant there was a whole host of other things that I couldn't do. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was just really, really fun. And we did a lot of music that was brand new music, some of it originally composed for GA, and that was great too. So I'd like to share with you and have you join with me in singing this very simple, originally composed piece by Ben Alloway. And it goes like this. From this house to the world we will go hand in hand. Everybody? From this house to the world we will go hand in hand.
Again.
From this house to the world we will go hand in hand.
You're great. I hope you will join us afterwards when we're going to share even more about GA. Thank you.
As Glenn extinguishes the chalice, listen for the tender and gentle spirit to guide us. Look for inspiration. Become emboldened by your faith. For our work, your work, O Spirit, is not yet done. May it be so. Go in peace. Amen.